This is the Capture 365 podcast, the podcast about everyday photography for everyday photographers. This is episode number 24, the Capture Your 365 fourth birthday party, recorded live on March 7th, 2015. Go to Capture Your 365 to get your birthday party goodie bag.
Welcome to the Capture Your 365 podcast. I'm Katrina Kennedy, and I am excited to be here today where we are recording from the Capture Your 365 birthday party. So today's podcast, I have a few hundred people joining me, along with my lovely co-host, Kelly Buss. Hello, Kelly. What are you taking pictures of?
Myself. I've been taking pictures of myself sitting at my computer screen, listening to everyone and everyone's great ideas and the party today. It's been awesome.
Nice. I'm glad you've enjoyed it. It's been fun to be here with everybody. I always love getting everyone's perspective, hearing their points of view. And the day has flown by for me, absolutely flown by. So it's fun to be able to bring a little piece of the day to people who were not able to be here and to also have it as a record for those of you who were here today. Awesome. So I have seen your photos on Instagram, Kelly. I've seen them. And you're tagging them, happy birthday, CY365, so everybody else can go see those too. So just a fun way of seeing today as we celebrate the fourth birthday of Capture Your 365. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Katrina.
Hey, it's really happy birthday to everybody. I gave birth to it, but all of you have kept the community alive. So I appreciate that completely. All right.
You put a lot into this, Katrina. So all these gals, they need to know that there's a lot of behind the scenes going on. So thank you so much and happy birthday. Because this is, we wouldn't be here without you at the end. So.
We love you.
Thank you.
And I love you all. Lots of love today. Lots of love.
Absolutely.
All right. So today's episode of Capture 365 podcast is brought to you by the Portraits class. This is a 7-month long class featuring 7 lessons to help you take everyday portraits that you love. This is not a studio class. This is not a class to go buy a lot of equipment. This is a class about making the most of what you have to get beautiful photos of the people that are in your life. This class has been a long time coming. We had it requested last year during our practice class. So I am so excited to finally be able to offer this. So Kelly, what are you looking forward to in the practice class, in the portraits class?
Portraits class. You know what? I am looking forward to the outtakes, honestly, because I learned so much from seeing everybody else's processes. You know, when you see the perfect picture at the end, sometimes it's a little disheartening because you kind of don't realize what has gone into getting that. And so when you see, okay, this is what the lighting really looked like, or these are the 15 or 20 or 50 I had to take to get there, and what I was learning each step of the way, or what you were learning each step of the way, then I'm really excited about how you kind of designed this course to have that part of it.
Yeah, this is the first course that I am featuring outtakes. I'm going to show you my process so that it's not just perfect photos. It's all the photos that go into the process. I'm always surprised when people say to me, like, well, you always take great photos, Katrina. And that's really not the case. I always just show my best photos.
Right.
I don't.
I think that's a good part of the process sometimes to share. Not all the times, because, you know, then I'd share way too much.
Exactly. Right. I want people to look at my photos, and if I share all the bad ones, then everybody would lose faith and wouldn't want to see them anymore. All right. So, Kelly, we're doing something a little bit different today. We're going to take live questions. We've got a few already that have been asked in email leading up to today. So I'm going to go ahead and kick us off with a question from Redonda. And her question is, I'm thinking about switching to RAW. So any links, tips, do's and don'ts would be appreciated. And I just have to say, we could do an entire show on RAW.
Definitely.
So I believe we both shoot in RAW. What would be your big tip to give Redonda?
My big tip would be go for it. Redonda, you've been taking great pictures all year long, and that's kind of the next step up, I think. It will give you a little bit more editing capacity more than anything, because if you're already getting a lot of great shots in your camera, you can't miracle work with them, but you can correct your white balance a lot easier. You can have a little bit more control over some exposure issues. And then one of the big deals is it's non-destructive. You know, every time you open and resave a JPEG file, it's supposed to, you know, lose a little bit of its quality. I don't know if I've ever noticed that myself, but that's part of what the JPEG does. Versus RAW, you're going to be able to have the same picture every single time. So you open it 1,000 times, you've never damaged the file. So that's one good reason to do it.
Absolutely. And I think you can jump in with both feet into the deep end here, because when you switch over to RAW, it's not really changing the way you take photos. It's changing how you edit. And sometimes people feel like they've got to do something special with their camera, but just switch it to RAW. I wouldn't encourage you to go RAW and JPEG just because of space, but switch to RAW. And then if you're using something like Lightroom, it's going to open the image. It's really going to not even look that different than to you, other than some of your colors may be more muted. Your photo is going to need some edits because JPEG does that for you, but RAW gives you a lot more control. It's a lossless format, as Kelly has said, and you just get more detail. I think you'll be pleasantly pleased.
Right. One thing I would tell you, Redonda, I don't know how big your memory cards are, but RAW is considerably bigger. So you may need to go out and buy some new SD cards so that you have a little more space, or you might notice, ooh, I'm filling up my card a lot faster, especially if it's like a vacation or a day that you normally would only take one card out, and then all of a sudden at the end of the day, you were wishing you had two. So you might just kind of look at your manual and see how many RAW pictures you can get compared to how many JPEGs, and decide if you need your card or an extra card.
Right. And it really also, I think, requires that you move to having a large external hard drive. If you are a saver like I am, I'm working with a 3 terabyte hard drive so that I don't have to worry about space. If you're a deleter like Kelly, then it might not be such an issue.
And Janice, I have to read this because Janice agrees with me. She says, key to remember with RAW is that you have to get rid of the images you don't want. You need to be more selective due to space.
Or not.
I know that, and that's okay, but I'm just always glad when there's another deleter in the audience.
That's right. Well, if I deleted, then what could I show in my class?
You know, if you're saving them for a reason, I guess. Redonda's asking, do we save it then as a JPEG when you're through editing? And I know, just from what I've seen from Redonda in the gallery and Facebook, that she's new to Lightroom, but I keep everything then as a RAW photo. As Katrina was saying, your Lightroom will show you kind of like the recipe for what you're editing. And then when I want the picture, then I'll export it as a JPEG, and then I may upload it to print it, or I may upload it to Facebook. And then I delete that JPEG off my hard drive because I have the RAW image and I have the Lightroom catalog. So keeping the JPEG for me is a little redundant, meaning I'm taking up more space than I need to.
Right. I do keep my photo of the day JPEGs in a photo of the day file that's backed up to SmugMug so that I have those photos in RAW and JPEG format. When I go to print, they are going to need to be in the JPEG format. You can't print a RAW photo. So that is one extra step. But if you're using something like Lightroom, I can batch process that. It happens pretty quickly, and it's worth it for the quality of the photos that I take. I'll tell you, for the portrait class, I did a few shoots specifically for class, and it was right after I got my new camera, and somehow I had reset something, and I took a bunch of them in JPEG. Yeah, and I was so sad.
I always notice it when I go to edit one of my iPhone pictures. and I'm like, oh, you know, I go to correct my white balance and it just doesn't quite correct.
Yeah.
You know, that your DSLR when you're shooting in RAW is.
Yeah, just you don't get that fine tuning. So I'm waiting for the phone that has RAW. It's coming. It's coming.
I'm sure it will be. Sure.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. So Cindy has a question that is really in line with white balance. She's really looking to better her white balance and wants to know what gray card or item could she buy to do this. So first thing I think with white balance is, you know, shoot in RAW. So you've got a little bit more control of it. And so you don't have to buy anything. And then from there, we talked earlier today about using your hand as your impromptu gray card. So your hand plus one stop of exposure can work really nicely. And then you can also purchase a gray card. And I think in terms of purchasing, it really depends on how much you want to spend, how you use it. I have a portable one that folds up into a small circle and it fits on the, it just, I hook it on the outside of my camera bag so that I've always got it. Kelly, are you using any gray card in particular?
No, I don't really use a gray card. When I think about it and ahead of time, I do have one of the expo discs that I receive as a gift.
Nice.
And it's kind of cool. It really does work really well, but I haven't played with it enough to make it a part of my workflow where I remember to use it enough, if that makes sense. But it's perfect. I mean, it is easy. It's non-destructive. You can wear it around your neck. But again, it's, I think, like $70 versus a gray card, you know, or a styrofoam cup. I've read. Use that. That's a good white piece. Take one picture with a styrofoam cup, put it away, and now you can go back, and when you go to edit, you can use that picture, that styrofoam cup, to get a true white.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, tricks out there. Try.
Yeah, and I think, you know, sometimes learning the tricks, then you really understand how it's working, why it's working in the way that it does, then that will ultimately save you some cash so that you can buy lenses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you go into Lightroom or Photoshop, Lightroom works really quickly, and you can, you know, enlarge your picture to their eyes or the white of their eyes, you know, or it's a gray spot in clothing. And you can make a quick correction off of that, usually too. So I don't do a good job of remembering to use my gray card stuff or my expo disc, but I want to.
Yeah. So Barb has a related question. Well, they're all related, huh? But this is a good question because it makes me go back in time and really think. And she said, any suggestions on how to remember the triangle of ISO, aperture, and shutter speed without having to take multiple pictures to get the photo you want? You know, and for me, it's all about like center line, get it to the center line. And that's what I try to remember. And then, you know, really looking at what the colors in my subject are before I shoot. So that if, you know, I'm exposing for my hand or I'm exposing for skin, for a face, if there's a face in the frame, and then, you know, upping my exposure a little bit, and then just practicing until you really begin to remember it. There's nothing that's going to outweigh practice. So Kelly, do you remember how you remembered those three?
Well, I'm kind of interpreting this question maybe a little bit different, but
okay.
Like we're not shooting a manual, so maybe I'm not quite on the same page with this, but what I was thinking is I have practiced just knowing that, let's say I have an exposure that looks correct, but I know that the shutter speed is too slow. So I know if I go up or faster shutter, then I have to bring my aperture down to a smaller number. I'm trying to make sure I get the terminology right. So I have to practice using my fingers so that I will like change one with my eye looking through the viewfinder, watching the light meter. So I see the meter go one, so now I'm overexposed one. Then I use my thumb on the back to change the aperture and I see the meter come back down one. So that every time I make an adjustment in one spot, I know I have to make the same adjustment in a different spot. Is that kind of maybe what you're asking, Barbara? I'm not real sure.
Ah.
Yeah, I have played with that. So like I know, okay, I have just changed my aperture by one click. And that means I need to change my shutter speed by one click
right.
to have the same exposure. I just changed my ISO by two clicks. I need to, you know, change my aperture by two clicks to get an identical exposure, even though now I've changed the focus or the blur, you know, with the aperture changing, but the exposure should be true. So I'm not sure if that's quite what she's asking, as much as maybe it explains how it works for me.
Yeah, no, I think we've approached it from two different angles. I think that's a great way. And it's that, you know, I think sometimes people feel like they need to commit all of the aperture, shutter speed, ISO numbers and stops to memory. But, you know, go with the click. The click is where it's at.
It's a little simple, I guess, but it's just really easy to think when I was trying to change in manual really quickly, you know, just one click here, two clicks here, because usually I don't change my ISO. Usually I already know going into it, oh, this is the kind of lighting I'm in. I'm going to have to be at 800 or I'm going to be at 1600 or 100. And so usually if I'm in manual, I only change aperture or shutter speed. And right. So, you know, kind of makes that click work for me.
Absolutely. And then ISO changes if nothing else works.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I have a similar approach. Oh, it's the one thing you and I have a similar approach to.
I'm going to start a list someday.
Okay. All right. You get on that in all your spare time. All right. Let's go to the next question. This is from Christy Bankhead. This is actually takes us in a different direction, but I love this direction because this is some stuff that I enjoy using. She says, I really like using my phone for some picture taking, the Project Life app, and especially the Collect app. You all know I'm a big Collect fan. However, I'd like to progress in my DSLR skills. I currently email myself photos I want to have on my phone because I like the Collect app. I'd like to learn more about other ways to make this easier, like Dropbox, Wi-Fi memory cards, or Wi-Fi camera, or other technology. So, Kelly, I know that you use the Collect app, and I do as well, and I bring my DSLR photos to my phone all the time to fill in my Collect app calendar. What do you use, Kelly?
Well, I used to use Dropbox, and that works fine. And a lot of people know Dropbox is where you're already kind of storing some things on your computer, but also in the cloud and then on your phone. And it's a pretty easy way to transfer data around. But if you've got a Mac computer, I'm just using AirDrop now for that, because AirDrop worked between the newer iPhones. So I guess it all depends on what iPhone you have, things like that. If you're using Collect, you have an iPhone. But I'm just AirDropping things, because a lot of times I'm sitting right at my computer when I want this one picture. My phone is right there. It goes really fast. It goes faster than uploading to Dropbox, downloading onto my phone from Dropbox. And if you don't have a Mac, if you're on a PC, there's an app called Pushbullet that does essentially the same thing. And it will go from your phone, iPhone, works for Android too, so that's not even just an iPhone thing. But it's a faster way to send smaller bytes of that. You know, if you were going to try to transfer, let's say, 20 pictures, I would put it in Dropbox and walk away from it and let it upload and then let it download and come back in however much time. But if you just know the one picture you want to send that day, I would just probably use AirDrop and then Pushbullet. So, do you ever use this?
I have not. So I have to admit something, and this is a little embarrassing. I have never been able to get AirDrop to work.
Oh, huh.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but... Huh. But now, obviously, I have to be up to the Kelly challenge and go figure it out.
Yeah, because I just did it a few minutes ago with my last pre-podcast selfie. I took a picture with my screenshot camera, taking a picture of me, AirDropped it to my phone, cropped it, put it up on Instagram, done in like 2 minutes.
Sweet.
2 minutes. I don't think it was that fast.
Wow. So you put...
I haven't had a problem.
So you put DSLR photos on Instagram.
I do.
All right.
I don't do a lot of it, but this one wasn't. This was a screenshot.
Oh, I guess so. It's a screenshot. Like, that's barely DSLR. Yeah, that's not the same. All right. All right. All right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I'm...
The quality's different. You know, usually there's a nice bokeh or something.
Right. So I have to admit, I'm old. I'm in 2013 technology. I'm using Dropbox.
Yeah.
I don't have a Wi-Fi card. I don't have that set up at all. I'm just, you know, purist, going simple, old school 2013 technology. But I like the way Dropbox works. But I'm intrigued. I'm gonna have to go try AirDrop a little bit. Michelle says she uses the photo transfer app, and that it works between devices and the computer, and it's about $2.99, but worth every penny. So I've not given that one a try.
Michelle, I was doing some research on some of those apps. Do you have to plug that into your computer, or does that use your own Wi-Fi, or does it use up to the cloud, back down to your computer, kind of like Dropbox? Because I was looking at a couple of different apps to suggest, and some of them you still had to plug it into your computer. You just could bypass iTunes, which is, I think, what a lot of people want to do, because it's kind of a pain to go through iTunes or iPhoto to get your pictures transferred around. So.
Yeah.
Michelle says your own Wi-Fi. So.
Oh, okay.
That would be an easy way to do it then, too.
Yeah, nice. Right. You're seeing everybody's comments faster than mine keep coming in like these big bunches. So cool. Vera's on my side. She said she's even further back. She emails them to herself and then opens them on her phone. So, all right. I won't feel so bad. Michelle. You just read that. All right. So there is a question. All right. Go moving away from Wi-Fi, Dropbox, Collect app. Janice wants to know, watermark, yes or no? Well, I have a strong opinion on this one. And we agree. Oh, put it on the list, Kelly.
Yeah.
Put it on the list. Okay. Yes. I am not a watermark user. I don't believe it does anything other than take away from your photo.
I've played with them, and I haven't ever found that I care for them. And a lot of the reading I've done says it's really not. If you're watermarking to protect yourself, it's not super useful. Honestly, they can kind of get around that if they really want your image. So, if you're watermarking it because you enjoy it and you want to, then that's fine. But yeah. What do you think, Katrina?
Yeah, I'm right there with you that, you know, most watermarks can be removed from your photo pretty easily. There are a million examples of organizations, countries, individuals who have grabbed photos with a watermark and still use them. I was actually at IMAX and watching a movie, and, you know, before they run the ads, and there was a realtor ad. And across the whole picture that they had in their ad, it said proof and the name of the photographer. It made me laugh.
I probably only use it if I was professionally putting up a picture that I didn't want someone, like a client, to lift without paying me for or something. You know, like they wanted to. But even then, the quality's not well enough that, you know.
Right. And if you're that worried about your client stealing from you, then I think there might be some other issues. Yeah. I think if you are shooting professionally and you want your name to get out there, then that's an awesome reason if you're trying to create a brand identity. But even if you look at some of the more established professional photographers, who have good presence, you're not going to see a lot of them watermarking anymore. I think there are better ways of protecting your images, whether that is in the way that you set up private galleries. If you're sharing on Facebook, I think you it's going to be low quality. You know that's going to happen. I think that Oh, I had a brilliant comment. Now, oh, I don't remember now. I've been talking for a while today. So the thing to do, I think, if you really want to protect your image, is to get into your metadata. You know, you put your copyright, put your name, put your contact information, so that it is embedded in the digital piece of your image, so that if you're sharing it online, that data is still there. That's why when I save photos for the web, I don't save for the web. I resize to a web size, but I'm not going to saving for the web strips most of the data from your photo, so you don't have that following you. It doesn't follow your image. And I think really, I am not that concerned about people stealing my photos. I'm not, you know, most of my photos are of my family. They're my everyday things. I don't think that many people are going to want much of my photography anyway. There's a lot of stuff out there. If you're shooting professionally, then it's a little, obviously it's a little bit different.
Definitely. And I think, you know, I have it on my camera so that when I take the picture, my name is automatically embedded into that file. And then I have it in Lightroom so that when I export it, it's kind of getting it twice, that it's a double check to make sure that my name's in the file.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what I'm doing. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Chris says, I used one last year and I hate that I did it and I've stopped.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But you know, I see a lot of them that I think are very tastefully done, you know, where
right.
Your name is very discreet, so you know that's who the picture is, and that's fine. I just never got around to thinking I needed it, I guess.
Exactly, me too. So, awesome conversation, awesome questions. Love sharing this format. It is time for us to move to what we have seen in the gallery this week. So Kelly, let's go ahead and kick it off with your image. Do you mind?
All right, sure, go for it.
Well, you go for it. You tell us about your image.
Oh, well, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were gonna open it on your screen.
Oh.
Kind of waiting for it to come up.
No, that's way too much. That would be good, but I have so many screens open and so many things happening that I've only crashed once today, so we'll keep it at that, hopefully.
I'll send the link to everybody.
All right.
And open it too. They won't have to just imagine it.
Oh, you know what? Here, I'm sending the link. I can do that.
Too late.
Oh. Oh man, you beat me. All right. Okay. And we'll link it up in the show notes too.
Yeah. It's from Tracy. Photographer of the Year, as you said. She did a wonderful Lake the Figure picture. Happy birthday, CY365. How could I not pick that today?
Oh my gosh.
It's perfect. And Tracy, I don't know if you're able to still, you're still out there right now. If you are, say hello. I love your picture. I love that she picked the mermaid with the little wink as kind of the centerpiece. And the time, setting up all the stuff and what looks like streamers. It's colorful, it's light, it makes me happy. It has the Lego bad guy in it from the Lego movie. I just love it. So
I had not seen this image and I think it's adorable. So Tracy, thanks for sharing it. I love the processing that she has on it and the background with the ribbons. That's so festive. It looks like ribbon to me, like balloon ribbon. She always pays so much it's so much attention to detail in her photos. I absolutely love that about her photography.
It's ribbon.
Nice.
And Redonda says, Tracy is the bomb.
Indeed.
You are Tracy. We all think that.
Indeed.
Thank you for setting up this, Tracy, and taking the time to do it, because it just really put a smile on my face when I saw it. And I stopped looking in the gallery.
Nice. Awesome. So my photo goes a totally different direction, and I'm going to beat Kelly to the punch.
Okay.
I got it out there. All right. So mine is by Burnett, who is relatively new to the Capture Your 365 community. And it is a photo of her, I'm assuming her son, sitting, or at least a young boy, sitting on a staircase, and there's gorgeous light illuminating him. And you just see him sitting on the staircase playing with something, and the stairs lead you right through the image. And I chose it because for me, it captures what Capture Your 365 is all about, in that it's an everyday moment. It's that moment where you've just stopped to see what's around you. It's real. It's well photographed and just a beautiful image. And it's in black and white.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And I love the light on his face. I mean, if he didn't have the light on his face, it would, you know, it would not be the image that it is.
No, not at all. Like, it so illuminates just his face, and you kind of lose the rest of the details. Like, even down to his foot that's in the shade of the wall, his face is just gorgeous. It just really draws your eye right to it. Kind of the quality that I'm looking for when I look at an image. I really love it. Good stuff. Yep. Awesome. Nice. All right. So I lost my notes. There we go. All right. So those photos are in the gallery. We will link them up in the show notes so that you can click on over and give them some love. And that brings us to the conclusion of this episode of Capture Your 365 podcast. Thank you for joining us for the fourth birthday party, and thank you for listening to the podcast. If you love the podcast, you've enjoyed this episode, head on over to iTunes and give us some love. Leave a review, give us a couple of stars, whatever works for you. And we hope to see you in the Capture Your 365 forum. Thanks, and have a great day.